Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and our author guest today is...
I am Eliza Jane Brazier, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for doing this. I jumped immediately at the book description as when I saw it come up, I was like, oh, we need to do this. This is very meta because podcasts are really big in your story if I disappear. And of course, immediately I'm like, it's a book about a podcast. And there's just no way we could pass this one by. And it's a thriller, which we super love.
Yeah, no, it's like a tie-in right there.
Oh my gosh. So tell us about this book, If I Disappear.
So it's about kind of, as you sort of alluded to, it's about a fan of a podcast. In this case, it's a true crime podcast. And she is kind of like an obsessive fan. And she also sort of like, her life isn't really like going the way that she sort of wants it to. You know, she feels kind of adrift. She doesn't really know where she belongs. Like she's sort of like recently divorced, like loses her job, just kind of feels like there's no place for her in society, really. And then the podcast host actually goes missing. And because she's sort of connected to this person so strongly, and she feels like a relationship to her, and then also sort of sees herself in this person and thinks, you know, like if I went missing, would anyone look for me? She actually decides that she's going to just dive right in and she's going to go looking for this person, right? So she ends up in this like rural location in Northern California. Which is actually based on a real place. And she sort of goes undercover because she thinks everyone's a suspect. And she starts kind of trying to investigate this mystery, kind of like using clues from the podcast and then also sort of like what she's experiencing in real time to try to solve this mystery.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun to read. Yeah. Even though horrible things happen in it.
Well, I want it to be fun. Like, that's important right now. We need to have some fun.
Oh, we totally need to have some fun. And I'm forever saying that my comfort read during COVID has been thrillers and horror It's fun to focus on other things that are horrible, but not necessarily the horrible things that are actually happening. So yes. If it's an off the walls, bonkers horror story or like a really meaty thriller that you can really just dig in, it's the perfect distraction.
I agree with you 100%. And I've actually found that even before this, like, I think that like true crime specifically can be like a way to deal with like trauma because it's like, it's not addressed anywhere else in the world. Like you're not even supposed to really talk about that kind of stuff because it makes people uncomfortable or it's scary. And that's like the cool thing about true crime is that it is like a place where it's like safe to like address those feelings in a world that is removed from your own, you know?
Absolutely. I think very recently on another interview, this topic came up and I mentioned how when I was younger and I was homesick, I would watch Unsolved Mysteries, which is, I guess, true crime for the late 80s, early 90s children. And I think you can watch it on Netflix now.
It's super... new ones.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I just know it's super unsettling. And for some reason, you know, I would have my soup and I would have my tea and I'd be drifting in and out of sleep and just watching Unsolved Mysteries, which was terrifying. Yes, but something about it made me feel a little better. And there's really a lot of talk about how women are driving these true crime podcasts. And so we have Sarah, who is the podcast listener in your book. And then you have Rachel, who is the podcaster, and she focuses on disappearances of women. And the two of them have just very interesting inner monologues, you know, and you don't really know much. Sarah seems to be running from this, as you said, this life that disappoints her. And Rachel seems to be sort of drawing these stories around her to almost like buffer her from her own life.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they definitely like engage in different ways, I would say, with it, you know?
What Sarah does, first of all, the town that she goes to, which Rachel disappears from, is it called Happy Camp?
Yeah, it's a real place. It used to be called Murderer's Bar. Although I think like multiple places were called that in the early days of America. It was kind of like a go-to.
Oh, well, so much, you know, just like when you read some of the names of Puritan children and they're like, whoa, you'd name your kid that? Why? Just why? Like, thou shalt not commit adultery, Jones or whatever. Like, why do you want to name your kid that? Like, why do you want to name your town? Why do you want to name your town Murderer's Bar? I mean, come on, Happy Camp is so much happier. So she goes looking for Rachel and she's looking at everybody in this town with suspicion, and she decides that she wants to work at the farm where Rachel's parents lived.
Yeah. She's getting undercover, man. She's going deep.
Oh my gosh. So please tell me where these characters came from. Tell me about Happy Camp / Murderer's Bar and just what inspired this wonderful, crazy book.
Okay, so the setting is actually interesting because, like I said, it's a real place. And like my experience there, I guess, was like kind of like by chance. Like I'd been living in England for like 10 years. I was married and then my husband passed away. And I ended up kind of moving back to America, being like single for the first time. And I decided like I was going to go work at like a dude ranch in Northern California because I thought like this would be like a really like healing kind of, you know, magical summer in the woods. Like I'd be working with horses, which I used to like, I grew up riding horses. So I was like, oh, this will be great. Like this will really like, you know, sort me out. So I show up at this place and like right away I was like, oh, this isn't what I expected. And it kind of like went from there, like very quickly escalated to just being like the craziest experience because I was out in the middle of nowhere. The people I was around were I guess they had been out there for a long time and they probably went out there for a reason, being that they didn't want to be around other people. And there was just like the craziest, you'd hear the craziest stories like about like, you know, I don't know, like people coming up from San Quentin on the murder line, like stories about like roving gangs, like the stories that like didn't really make sense. But because you were like out there by yourself and this is what you were hearing, like it just became like you became like sort of like paranoid. And it was just like everything was heightened. And I actually only lasted out there for like 6 weeks before it literally like someone kind of like crossed the line and I was like, okay, I need to leave because this is actually dangerous. Like these people are in a different world, you know, like for whatever reason. So I use that like for the story. And like, obviously like what happens in real life and what happens in the story is like totally different, of course. But the feelings that I had like being out there, like that's all like kind of like, you know, that's true, you know? And like just the idea of like how much you're at someone's mercy if you're in isolation where people really can kind of get away with anything, to be honest.
What was crazy about it was that Sarah just kept digging herself in to this situation. And she's so interested in these true crime podcasts. What was it that she called it? Was it murder, mayhem, conspiracy?
Oh yeah. Wait, okay. Murder, missing, conspiracy.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is that, so is that, or do you listen to a lot of true crime podcasts?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Like I started like, kind of, I guess like yourself, like I actually, like after my husband died, that's when I really started to get into it. And I think that part of this, my husband's death was like an unlawful killing. And like part of the whole thing going through that, we had to go through like the coroner's court and like all this kind of stuff. And I think that like I started, you know, I started watching like Dateline like obsessively. Like I would watch it for like hours. And I think in a way, like I said to you kind of earlier, like I found like that was like a way for me to like address trauma because there was no space for me to talk about what I had been through. And then from there, I discovered, you know, the true crime podcast, like My Favorite Murder, like Crime Junkie. And that's when it took to another level because these are like these women who are like so like smart and funny, and they talk openly and honestly about mental health, about like themselves, about, you know, everything. They created this community of people that is like such a positive and amazing community. Like I went to live events obviously before all this happened, and like the people that I met there, it was like they were so friendly, they were so open, empathetic, like, and it was like just a joyful, positive atmosphere that these people had built. And it really is down to, I think, like Karen and Georgia who created that. I think maybe probably women have always been in some ways drawn to true crime, just because we're more likely to be victims of violence, and also just as a way of feeling prepared. But
that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, my condolences about your husband. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
For the most part, a lot of women who do find true crime so compelling, for a while, I know that I thought maybe I was just the weirdo who watched Unsolved Mysteries when I was sick, but clearly there's a whole community of us. And then you have somebody like Michelle McNamara, who I'll Be Gone in the Dark, who
didn't, and that's like that's even another level. And like that's, I think, kind of just shows like what I would say is like the best in the community is that it brings people who are highly empathetic, who also don't ignore things. Maybe it's women, maybe it's like authors or people who read and stuff like that, that we all connect to this kind of thing more, but we don't ignore bad things. I think there's a tendency in the world to like look the other way or to ignore it. And I think that community draws in such empathetic people because they're not content to just look the other way. And people like Michelle McNamara, who actually want to like sacrifice really like her whole life to do something about these things. That's why it brings good people, because it's people who care about people, you know?
I think that what was interesting was how Sarah related to the people who had been in Rachel's life prior to the disappearance. I know very briefly, Rachel, like in a flashback, Rachel talks about the whole mother dearest dead Dee Dee. Was it Dee Dee Blanchard?
Rose Blanchard.
Gypsy
Rose and Gypsy Dee Dee.
You just get a sense that her relationship with her mother was fraught, but when you meet her mother, you get the sense that everybody's relationship with her mother is fraught. And I like that what you do and what the readers hopefully, because I picked this up, you're with Sarah and you know that Sarah maybe isn't 100% all there, but you also want to find out what happened with Rachel. So you're reading into these conversations that she has with these people that she's only heard about third person through this podcast and trying to pick up on like, what do they know? Are they involved? How does this play into Rachel's disappearance? It was so cool because you were like kind of right there next to Sarah and you're like, Sarah, please don't do this, but what's going on?
Yeah, totally. It's like you said, you can't look away kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is weird, but like, I want to know what's happening here.
Yeah, as the train kept forging ahead, you're like, oh my gosh, no, what's happening?
It's like true crime, I guess, in that way that you're like, okay, I know something bad's coming, and I'm trying to figure out what it is because I can be ready.
So the other inhabitants of the town, you have some like Rachel's family and just like a little bit of background stories, maybe how Rachel became it interested in disappearances in general. She knew someone who disappeared in her past. How did that whole tapestry come together for you?
I think it was probably kind of like organic. Like I usually do better if I don't outline, because I think I kind of lose, like I start doing like a paint by number.
So you're a pantser, not a planner.
Yeah, I've tried, but I try to be an outliner because I feel like it's so much, a much more intelligent way to do things. But I think at the end of the day, you really do have to like, just say, okay, I have to do what works for me. Even if it's like a kind of, it's maybe not the most efficient. Yeah, but so for this book, like I definitely tried to like just be open to like spontaneous connections. And I think that as you're kind of writing, like sometimes it'll, you know, your brain is kind of weaving all these things together. And something will just sort of like occur to you like that, okay, like why, you know, why would she be interested in true crime? Or maybe this happened in her past and maybe that like she really connected to that. Or, you know, why would they think that she had connected to it? Yeah, so for me, it's definitely like a spontaneous connections. I think that's like the funnest thing when you suddenly realize that your character like has a secret that you didn't know and they like tell you and you're like, oh, now I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like all this stuff I wrote that like didn't really make sense. And I'm like, oh, that's why you know.
Yeah.
Something, you know.
It was just like, it was so much fun to read. And I think it's just going to fly off the shelves for all of those reasons. I know we talked a little bit before we started recording about the cover. It's beautiful.
I know they did such a good job. Like that's like the honestly, like they did such a good job because I get compliments on that cover all the time and I get them like I didn't do it. But I'm like, I know, right? Like I think it's beautiful. It's like a work of art. And it's like even like whenever I got my you know, the copies of the book, like I was like, this is like the most beautiful book I've ever seen. And that's not because it's mine, because it's like the cover is separate, like it's its own thing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I feel really lucky that I got such a good one for this book.
Wait, sure. Did you have any say in it? Did they give you a few choices or were they just like, this is it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to go like too much behind the scenes, but I definitely like had a lot to say. Like I wrote like kind of like a list of like all the things that I really wanted, and then we like worked together on like getting that, which is really cool because you don't always like, I've definitely, you know, there's definitely situations where people are like, no, we're doing this because they know better.
Yeah. But
so it was cool to be able to have one that I also liked. But yeah, you have to, I guess, also trust the experts. But this was a really fortunate one where it was like, that is better than anything I ever could have come up with on my own.
It's like a cake that you see in a bakery and you're just like, oh my gosh, that's beautiful and delicious. I bet you it's delicious.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you belong to a writer's group when you write? What I know that you're a pantser, so I'm not going to ask about your writing process. Do you work with other writers? Do you bounce ideas off of them?
To be honest, like, no, I'm like, I think that I like, you know, I always kind of like wished I had, but it is hard to, I think it's hard to find people. So I never have had people that I work with as far as like when I'm writing. And a lot of that also has to do with the kind of schedule that I keep. Like I work super fast and turn stuff over like really quickly. So it's like, I don't think I'd ever be able to find somebody who would be able to like, who I would feel comfortable asking, can you just like get this back to me like tomorrow? Cause I'm probably handing it in tomorrow. But so I don't have people that work with me on the writing, but I do have like a group of like women that I who are also like debuts for this year. We actually like joined this group, I guess, in the past 6 months. And we all kind of talk on a Discord chat and we like talk about all the kind of like different aspects of publishing and the struggles that we're having with writing. And that has been like such a like game changer for me because I found writing like really isolating, I think before that, and kind of depressing sometimes. Like I would get really emotional and feel very like, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. This is terrible. Like every day you're kind of like facing your own inadequacies because the story is you're making the story better. So you're seeing how it's not good, you know? But so that has been like a really like a important thing for me. And then I've been working on a TV show and that is collaborative, which has been bomb because like the people that I work with are so awesome. Like they actually want me to do stuff and they make me better. Like they don't like kind of, they're like the perfect collaborators. So that's been really cool.
You just opened the door to my next question, which is like, what else are you working on?
Yeah, so I was lucky to like have like a amazing agent who was able to negotiate me to be involved in like the development of the show. So I am working on a script. I guess I can't really say like with who, or we don't know if that'll ever come to fruition, but that has been like a dream come true. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
And then I also had a second book in my contract. So I did that. I've done that and that handed that for copy edits. And that one is like, it's a lot different. It's like more like cause I felt like the vibe right now, I wanted something that was a little bit more like funny. So I wrote kind of like almost like a comedic thriller. And it's called Good Rich People.
Ooh.
And my tagline, like my personal tagline, which I'm sure they won't use, is there aren't any.
Could you please just like agree to come on to the podcast to talk about that when it comes out? Oh yeah,
for sure.
I need to read that now.
No, it's like fun, man. Like it like, I mean, it actually like this year. So I tried to outline it and work from an outline and that did not work. And I struggled for like a whole year. And then finally I was like to my editor, this isn't working. Like, let's rejig this whole thing. And then I spent like 5 weeks rewriting the whole book and it came out like so funny. And like, I really love it. And like, I already sent it to like someone for a blurb and they love it. And like, I could tell they like, you know what you can tell when someone authentically loves it. And I was like, yes. You kind of like this more than my other stuff, don't you? Like, she really likes it. So I mean, everyone's different, but I'm excited about it.
I'm excited to hear about it as well. Yeah. Are there any talks, since we touched on television about developing If I Disappear into a TV series?
Oh no, that's the script that I'm working on.
Oh, okay. Then we don't have to go into that anymore. I wasn't sure. I hope you're allowed to say that at least.
Well, I mean, I people know I'm working on it. I guess we haven't announced who is with, and that's because, you know, you just don't know. Things change.
Of course,
you're trying to get different, you know, it's like such a long process, but it's, like I said, it's been like such a privilege to me to like be able to work with these people and like learn from them. Like, it is like an honor, you know? So that's just, I don't even care if it, like for me personally, that's like the joy. Like, that's the best part, you know?
I've been really thrilled to see how television has become such a good medium for books. There's always the old trope, the book is better than the movie, and the book is always different than the TV series, and the movie too. I'm not going to say all movies based on books are bad, because I don't really like that trope, and I don't necessarily think it's true. But what we have been noticing is that you can really get into the meat of a book with a TV series, whereas you only have an allotted time for a movie, and sometimes the translation just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing too that's about TV, like, because I did a lot of research, I guess, like obviously to be able to write shows and stuff. And the thing about TV shows that you don't always like sort of realize is that they're about characters. You know, like you have like you have these characters that you spend years with, and they have the, you know, they're kind of like on this long journey that is a lot more, I think, authentic to the way that real people experience life. Like, we kind of have the same problems over and over. We're struggling with the same things, you know. And so I think that's like the really cool thing about TV is that, like, especially like with this story, like I got to like delve into like every character that I didn't really get to, I feel like, enough with this book. Like, I want to know more about people. Like, I want to know more about Taja. I want to know more about Clinton.
Yeah.
I want to know their stories.
Yeah.
Too. So that is like the cool part about it, for sure. Cause it's like, I got to keep living in this world. I got to keep like, and like trying to, and changing things. And how does this affect the story? Or what if we did it this way? What if we did it that way? Like, you're almost like able to, cause I think everyone, after you publish your book, you go, oh, I wish I could have changed maybe that, or maybe I could have done this better. So it's cool to be able to like explore that and like, oh, what if we made it more funny? Like, what if we made it more, you know, whatever, you know? So that's really cool.
So who do you read if you want to read a really good thriller?
Oh my gosh, I read everybody. I mean, I would say, you know, like similar, I guess, like my like all times favorites would be like Gillian Flynn or like Megan Abbott. One of my like favorite writers that I like talk about a lot is an Irish author, Louise O'Neill. And she wrote like YA books, but they're not really very YA. The first one is like Only Ever Yours, which is kind of about like an alternate reality where like men create women, I guess, like for their, I don't know, pleasure. And allegedly it's an alternate reality. Which is really good and really sharp and feminist. And then she wrote another one, Asking For It, which is also, it's about kind of the perfect victim syndrome. And it's also like very like sharp and inventive. And then I've been able to read like some really amazing books that are coming out this year. So like, look out for like Dead Dead Girls by Nixa Effia. Lori Flynn Elizabeth's The Girls Are All So Nice Here.
Oh my God, that book destroyed me.
It's so good.
That
she's
book
so talented.
Destroyed me. Yeah, I can honestly say that was one book that after I put it down, I really needed some time.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. And she's been around like for a while, like, and she's written so many good books. And I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, girl, like, this is like a different level. Like, I was like,
it really is. Yeah. Whenever people ask me for book reviews and they're just, and I'm like, how badly do you want to be wrecked by a book? Because that one will wreck you.
It's so good. And she's so like nice as well. Oh, and then the last one I was going to say is May Cobb, The Hunting Wives. That's another one that to look out for that is a fun one.
Oh, awesome. That one's already on my list. Very cool. Yeah. Well, this book was great. The story is so much fun to read. I think everybody's going to love it. And I thank you so much for coming to talk to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries and
Eliza Jane Brazier.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.